Now, the text of Scripture I want us to look at today is Deuteronomy chapter number 33 and the verse number 25. That verse says, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Now, today I want us to consider the promise of divine strength for every day of life. And we find this promise here in our text in verse 25 of Deuteronomy 33, where it says there, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Now, these words were spoken by Moses as part of his farewell message, really, to Israel before they entered into the promised land. If you turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and the verse number 23, here we read of how Moses speaks of God's charge in particular to Joshua, who really was to be a successor to Moses. And look at these tremendous words that he utters to Joshua. It says in verse 23 of Deuteronomy 31, "Then he gave Joshua the son of Nun's charge and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee." What a word of encouragement there the Lord gave to Joshua in that charge. Then also, if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, you'll see there that in that chapter, Moses really speaks of God's mercy and God's judgment to Israel. Look at verse number 10. There you see the mercy of God to Israel, really a picture of how God is merciful in salvation to all his people. It says, "He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye." And then if you go down to verse number 22 of the same chapter, there you read of the warning of God's judgment upon the rebellious and the wayward who would turn away from God and his word. It says in verse 22, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." And then whenever we come to Deuteronomy chapter 33, in that chapter we see how Moses tells of God's blessing upon the different tribes of Israel. These blessings were both present and future for the tribes of Israel. Look at how verse 1 of the chapter begins. It says there, "And this is the blessing with Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death." And there you see how before he departs this life, this scene of time, Moses is one who leaves behind him a blessing. And what an example that is to every Christian. How when we are gone, that should be our desire to leave behind a blessing here on earth to those who follow in our wake. But whenever we come to verses 24 and verses 25 of Deuteronomy chapter number 33, here we read of the blessing that Moses was to pronounce in particular upon the tribe of Asher. It says there, "And of Asher he said, Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." And you'll see here that this blessing, it speaks of numerical increase for Asher. For it says there, "Let Asher be blessed with children." It also speaks of favor for Asher among his brethren. It says, "Let him be acceptable to his brethren." And it also speaks of prosperity in particular for Asher. It says there, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass." And this really meant that the minerals that go into making iron and brass would be found in the land under the feet of the tribe of Asher. And then you will notice also in the final place that this blessing also consisted of strength according to their days. It says there right at the very end of verse number 25, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." Now, it is very interesting to note that the name Asher itself literally means happy. And in Scripture, those who are happy are those who who trust in the Lord, those who follow the Lord, who yield to the Lord, who are blessed of God. The psalmist says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Now, as with all the promises of God, there are important lessons here for all God's redeemed and saved people. And it's for that reason then that I want us to consider these words in verse 25 of Deuteronomy chapter 33, where it says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And here you see the promise of God's strength for every day of our lives. As we consider then this wonderful promise, there are three things I want you to notice in connection with it. First of all, we see here how the believer's life is likened unto a journey. And you see that from the mention of the word shoes there in verse 25. It says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And we use our shoes, what for? For walking, for making a journey. And that really shows the Christian that his life here on earth is a walk. It's really a journey to heaven. And dear believer in Christ, your journey of heaven, it commenced the day you were saved, whenever that was, wherever that was. And my, that journey to heaven will only end when you depart the scene of time and death or at the coming of the Lord. The psalmist David often referred to this journey in his own life. In Psalm 23, he speaks of the Lord and he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And there he speaks of the Lord's leading, the Lord directing him along life's journey. You turn your Bible over to the New Testament book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 11, and in particular to the verse number 13. Here you see further reference been made to the fact that the Christian's life is a journey to heaven. Verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Notice that word, they're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And whenever you think there of those who are pilgrims, might you think of those who are on a journey. That is how it is for every child of God. They're on a journey to heaven. The hymn writer says, I'm a pilgrim bound for glory. And surely with the writing of those words, the hymn writer recognized that their life on earth was but a journey to heaven, a journey to glory. And child of God, because of the Lord's salvation in your life, you too today are on a way, on your journey to heaven. You're on your way to heaven. You're on your walk to glory. And as you and I travel along this journey, we are not to become entangled with the affairs of this ungodly world. Yes, you and I, we're not to hold on to the things of this world too dearly, nor are we to hold on to the things of this world too tightly. Why? Because one day we must leave them all. One day we must leave them all behind. The Bible says to the Christian, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Whenever Peter was writing to God's people in his first epistle, he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And there he was encouraging God's people to have nothing to do with the ungodly ways of this world. Again, whenever Paul was writing his letter to the church at Ephesus, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And that really reminds you and I that in the journey of this life, we too are to walk and to live in a manner as Christians that glorifies God. In Ephesians 5 verse 8, it says there to you and I who are saved, it says, walk as children of light. Yes, our life, our walk, our attitude, our whole manner of life is to be different from this ungodly world. Yes, child of God, can I say this is to be the mark of your journey to heaven, your mark of your journey to glory. Yes, the believer's life here is likened unto a journey to heaven. But the second thing here to notice from our text is that the believer's journey to heaven can be marked with difficulties. And you see that in particular from what Moses says there in Deuteronomy 33 in the verse number 25, and he says, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass." And as well as pointing to the minerals in the land that would be under the feet of Asher in the land of Canaan, these words would also show us that the believer's path can be difficult. You see, as Israel journeyed to Canaan, the Israelites had to travel over rocky and mountainous paths. And leather shoes would soon wear out. But iron and brass, it speaks of protection for their feet along the rough journey, for the journey and for the walk by the way. And believer, that surely reminds you and I today that our journey to heaven also can often be beset with difficulty and often be beset with hardship. Yes, the Lord who has saved us, He promises you and I to keep us unto eternal life. In verse 11 of 1 John chapter 5, it says there, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." And that's our promise, the certainty of heaven. Yet despite the certainty of heaven, God has never promised that the journey to heaven would be smooth or it would be without trouble, so to speak. He's never promised that. Yes, He's promised us the certainty of heaven after the journey of life, but He's never promised that the way to heaven for the Christian would be like a bed of roses. He's never said that there would never ever be trials or troubles along life's journey. Emphasizing this very point, someone has once said that there are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers below. The Christian here on earth must bear his cross. The psalmist says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." And verse 33 of John 16, Christ says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And my through Christ believer, you can overcome the trials, the tribulations along life's journey. You can be a victor in those trials through Christ. Whenever Paul was addressing God's people in the church at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 1 and the verse number 29, he said these words to them. He says, "For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." And there he warned them of sufferings, of trials. And here we see, yes, that suffering and trials along life's journey are sometimes unavoidable. We cannot escape them as we travel to heaven. Child of God, I say to you today, whenever trials come your way in life, don't be surprised. Don't think that this is strange. Now, whenever a fishing vessel puts out to sea, the crew on board that fishing vessel, as they put out to sea, maybe for days, maybe for weeks, they're always prepared for storms. They're always prepared for rough seas as they go out to fish and bring in the catch. I remember many years ago speaking to a retired fisherman. He was a man who had been a fisherman all his life, had worked in trawlers all his life, and he was a young boy. And he said one of the first things he was taught and one of the first things he learned as he was a fisherman, and he fished all his life on the trawlers out in the Irish Sea in the North Sea and maybe further afield. But he said this thing was instilled into him as a young fisherman by those who were elderly and those who were experienced. And it was this: as you work on the deck of the fishing trawler, never turn your back to the sea. Always work watching and facing the sea, because you don't know what can come. A freak wave can come and a storm may come very quickly. It says that was something that it was instilled into you, and you always worked watching the sea, looking out for the unexpected, looking out for the sudden wave to come and to sweep over the deck of the fishing vessel. And believer, can I say this, as you journey to heaven, yes, you and I also, we are to be prepared for the unexpected. We are to be prepared for storms and trials and difficulties along the way. Don't count them as strange things when they come. And child of God, can I say this? Whenever trials come your way in life, you follow the example of the psalmist David. And what did he do? He prayed. And pray in that time of storm that you would be drawing closer to the Lord. Turn over to Psalm number 61. Psalm number 61. And look at what David prays there in verse number 2 of the psalm. He says, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And there David was praying that he'd be drawn closer to the Lord. And believer, in your time of need, pray that God will draw you closer to himself. And also, believer, in the trial, pray for grace. Grace to glorify God in the midst of the trial and storm that comes your way in life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says there that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And that speaks there of glorifying God through the trials of life. And believer, when the trial comes for you, pray that you'll be drawn closer to the Lord. Pray that you'd be given grace to glorify the Lord. Maybe you know another Christian and they're going through a time of testing and trial. Pray for them. Pray that they would be drawn closer to the Lord. Pray the Lord will give them grace to glorify the Lord in the midst of the trial. This is what we are to do in the trials along life's journey. Yes, we see here that our life is like a journey. We see that our journey to heaven can be beset with trials and with difficulties. But the thing here also to note from our text is this, in the third and final place, is that there is strength for the believer's journey to heaven. And you see that at the end of our text in Deuteronomy 33 and in the verse number 25. It says there, "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." In other words, we see here how strength for every day is promised in accordance with our need. You think about the Apostle Paul when he was beset with the thorn in his flesh. God said to Paul, he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And likewise, believer, God is grace for your every need, day by day in life. You think about the testimony of the hymn writer. She could say, "All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread." She says there of the Lord, he gives her grace for every trial. And believer, God is grace for every trial that you may face in your life day by day. You look again there at Deuteronomy 33, verse number 24, it says there of Asher, it says, "Let Asher be blessed with children." And when we think of children, surely we think of the home. And what is the Lord teaching us there? He's showing us that there is strength for us as believers and all the needs of our homes and all the needs of our families, whatever those needs are. Again, in verse 24, he says of Asher, "Let him be acceptable to his brethren." And this reminds us, yes, of our relationship with God's people in the work of God and in the witness for Christ. And again, what's the Lord saying to you and I here as believers? He's saying this, that the Lord has strength for us in every aspect of God's work that we might do or be involved in. Again, there it says in verse number 24, it says of Asher, "Let him dip his foot in oil." And that speaks of the olive press. When the people crushed the olives with their bare feet to extract the oil from the olive, and it was hard work. It was strenuous work. And again, surely that reminds us how God has strength for you, believer, in your daily work, in your daily vocation in life, whatever that is, whatever God has given you to do and called you to, God has strength for you. Yes, in all these matters indeed, and in every time of need. Think of what our text says. It says, "And as our days, so shall thy strength be." And Christian, when you come to face the river of death itself, yes, the Lord will give you all the strength that you need as his child. Someone has once said that God gives grace for living to the Christian, but he also gives grace for dying for the Christian. You think of the words of the hymn writer The hymn writer asked these questions. They asked, is there anyone to help us when the end is drawing near? Who will go through death's dark waters by our side? Who will light the way before us and dispel all doubts and fears? And will bear our spirits safely o'er the tide? That was the questions that they asked. And in answer to those questions, the hymn writer went on and said, yes, there's one, only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. When afflictions press the soul, when the waves of trouble roll, and you need a friend to help you, he's the one. What words those are. He's the one to help us in every trial of life, even in death itself. Child of God, can I say to you that our text here is the Lord's promise for you today, at this moment in time, for all your daily needs. And in the will of the Lord, this is the Lord's promise for you tomorrow, throughout this week, throughout this month, throughout this year, whatever it unfolds, whatever it comes your way in the providence of God. It says, and as thy days, whatever your days are, it says, thy strength shall be. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And believer, can I say this, to experience the fullness and the blessing of this promise in every time of need, what must you do? Believer, you must pray and ask the Lord for his promised strength. You know, whenever someone gives you a check for money, that check, the value of it only becomes your property. Whenever you take that check and you lodge it in your bank account, or else you get it cashed, that's what you must do if that check and the amount of it is to become your property. Well, the blessing here of God's promised strength, dear believer, will only be your portion when you pray and ask God for that strength. Ask God in faith for that strength in your time of need, whatever your need is. You turn in your Bible over to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. And I want you to see here how Paul prayed for God's people. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Here you have Paul praying that God would strengthen his people. It says in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 3 that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And there you see, he was praying that God's people would be strengthened by God. And Christian, you follow that example there in your time of need. Pray for divine strength. Ask God for the fulfillment of this promise in your life, in your circumstances, whatever they are. Maybe you're praying for another Christian in a time of need. Pray that God will strengthen them in their time of need, that God will give them the strength that they need. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord, that speaks of prayer, shall renew their strength. And this is what God has promised to do. He's promised to give us strength. And he cannot deny his word. Take that promise, believer, and plead it before God in prayer. It says, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. The psalmist says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. Paul could say, our sufficiency is of God. The prophet Isaiah could testify, and he could say, the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And my, he was trusting the Lord for strength. And believer, you too trust the Lord and ask the Lord for strength, and he'll give you that strength. Not only will he give you that strength, but he'll give you a song in your heart and joy in your soul. For Isaiah could say, the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. In the time of his need, because of the strength of the Lord, he was able to rejoice in the Lord. Believer, what a promise here the Lord gives to you and I today. He says, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Whatever your need is today, whatever your need will be this week, this month, this year, whatever in the will of the Lord, pray for strength day by day to face and to deal with the challenge of that need. Maybe some aspect of God's work that you're involved in, some care that concerns your home, your family, your loved ones. Pray for strength, divine strength, divine enablement. Perhaps today as you listen in, maybe you're not saved. Let me say this today, that if you are to know God's strength and God's power in your life for all the needs of this life, if you are to be sure of heaven, if you are to be delivered from hell, then you must be saved. You must have God's salvation in your heart and in your life and in your soul. And how can you be saved? You can be saved by putting your faith, your trust in Christ, in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. You can be saved today. You can be saved right now, wherever you are, if you call upon the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor under a heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And whenever you come to Christ for salvation, He will pardon all your sins. He'll be with you in life. He'll take you to heaven one day. And here on earth, He'll give you all the grace that you need to live for Him, to serve Him. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Therefore, if you're not saved, wherever you are today, whoever you are, come now to Christ. Trust Him to be your Savior. Be saved forevermore. Trust, yes, in the precious blood of Christ alone for your salvation. Christ's shed blood has made a perfect, satisfactory, and infinite atonement for sin. And my, no sinner can perish, whoever he is, whoever she is, who relies on the blood of Christ alone for salvation, who washes in that blood, has their sins cleansed away by that blood, and who pleads that blood before God. Yes, Christ's precious blood is invaluable, I tell you, to the salvation of your precious, never dying soul. Oh, to be saved today, come to Christ. Ask Him to cleanse away your sins in the precious blood of the Lamb, and then depend upon Him. Depend upon His strength day by day to live for God. Paul describes himself as the chief of sinners. Yet in another part of the Scriptures, he could say this, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Think of our text today. May God bless it to your heart and burn it into your soul. "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, today for Thy presence with us around the Word of God. We thank Thee for help given, Lord, in the preaching of Thy Word. Bless Thy Word, bless Thy truth to every heart, to every soul who has listened, who will listen in. Help every child of God to depend upon Thy strength, whatever their need is, Lord. We thank that there's no limit to the strength, to the grace, and the help of God. And Lord, for any listening in, not saved, speak to them even now wherever they are. May they call upon the Lord for salvation. Have the blood of Christ applied by faith to their heart. Know the joy of sins forgiven. Know what it is to be saved and to be ready for heaven. Bless us throughout this thy day. Watch over us. Bless us. May we know the presence of the Lord with us and near us and round about us. And bless us again even later on this evening as we meet again around the Word of God. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the abiding fellowship, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with all who know and love Thee this day and always. Amen.